look at how to screen new police officer recruits. My colleague Curtis Gilbert of APM Reports did an extensive look into how the Minneapolis Police Department does this, screens would-be police officers. And one finding from Curtis's report is that over the last 5 years, MPD has scaled back their psychological screening of recruits. So Curtis Gilbert in the studio now to talk more about this. Hello, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me in.
Your questions for Curtis. Maybe you saw this story online from our friends at APM Reports. Curtis also had a piece also elsewhere on NPR News. Maybe you heard that. So your questions, 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1, and don't call or text if you're driving. We just heard Stephen in the newscast there talk about the shooting of Justine Diamond Ruzczyk. He was actually talking about whether there'll be a criminal case against the officer. That's not what your story is about, but how does that shooting play into the story you did?
Well, it's actually the reason I got kind of interested in this, because that shooting, you know, was kind of mysterious. You know, the Australian Prime Minister called it inexplicable. So I was wondering, well, what kinds of, you know, psychological testing mm-hmm. do they do before people are hired as cops? Of course, we don't know whether that was a factor here, but it was just a curiosity. It just kind of got my mind going. And so I started asking questions. And what I learned, as you noted, is that Minneapolis used to do a lot more psychological testing of police recruits than they do today. And that there's actually some really good research that shows that the psychological testing they used to do in the Minneapolis Police Department is effective at identifying officers who are going to be problems later. Back in the early 2000s, the Federal Department of Justice funded a study that showed the tests they were doing then worked, but now a lot of those tests they used to do, they don't do anymore.
And so what you're talking about, big picture, is this idea, and we've asked this question, right? All these conversations we've had about policing over the last few years under a lot of scrutiny. I guess there would be a nice way to know, is there a way to test someone coming in to know if he or she will be a good cop?
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of, in fact, it's very common, I should say, it's very common for police officers to get some kind of psychological testing. It's almost universal, in fact, before you get hired. Minnesota state law requires it, in fact. There's different levels of testing you can do. And, mm-hmm. and what Minneapolis has done for the last 5 years is a single test called the MMPI-2RF, developed in Minnesota, in fact, the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory.
Sounded like a Star Wars character, actually, for a while there. Yeah.
But it is it's a test that's seen as a test of abnormal personality, mm-hmm. sort of psychological problems, if you will. And the test that they don't do anymore looked at other aspects of your personality, sort of what you'd see almost as more positive characteristics, like your character, your integrity.
Do you have ethics?
Ethics,
kind of
intelligence.
Thing.
They used to test intelligence. They don't do that anymore. So anyway, it's a big, broad subject, but there's not a lot of uniform and how it's done around the country, like everything with law enforcement,
sure.
It's left up to local departments.
So your point there is that while the state of Minnesota requires some kind of psychological testing, the actual details of what that testing is left to the local departments.
That's correct. And we found that the state had not exercised a great deal of oversight in enforcing even that requirement, because one of the other interesting things about how Minneapolis has done this for the last 5 years, it's relied on a psychiatrist, you know, which is a medical doctor, mm-hmm. to make that final determination and actually do the clinical interview with the recruits, which is not quite in keeping with the state law, which says it's supposed to be done by a licensed psychologist. And so the Minnesota Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, when they learned that, was quite concerned that hundreds of police officers had been approved for duty not according to the letter of the regulations.
Curtis Gilbert is with me. His story is on APM Reports, which is part of NPR's parent company, so we're all under the same roof here. It's the investigative wing here that does a lot of great stories. APMReports.org if you want to find more on Curtis's story. And again, what you were talking about is they used to do, what, it was four tests? They used to do five tests.
As many as five. I mean, it's changed every time they change providers, but they'd never done only one before.
And now they're doing just
that's
the
what
one.
They've done for the last 5 years.
And you made an interesting point to me beforehand, is that the one test they do have, the one they do, tests stability, and you use this other word for the other kinds of tests that they no longer use, suitability. Mm-hmm. It's this question of whether you're stable, whether you are just physically stable enough to hold a job versus whether you're actually suitable for the mm-hmm. job, whether this is actually a good fit. That's an interesting comparison and dynamic within these tests.
Right. And you could look at that as kind of a higher standard, a higher bar to say, are you suitable? You know, yes, you're not mentally unstable or not even virtually no one who would get that far in the hiring process would actually be clinically mentally unstable, but they set a lower threshold, they've cleared a bar already. It's not that they're saying that, but they aren't doing this kind of deeper look at your psychological makeup, which is seen as a national best practice, and frankly most of the police officers in Minnesota use one of three big firms in the state that do this kind of work, and they all adhere to those national best practices. So Minneapolis really was out of the norm for the last 5 years.
And it was interesting, you noted that Minneapolis just uses one test, and I think I saw on your story there, St. Paul, for example, uses four.
Yeah, they use one of those three big firms. Actually, it's one of the firms that Minneapolis fired about a dozen years ago or so. They went through quite a tumultuous period where they got rid of two of the more experienced psychological screening providers in the state doing this kind of work with police departments. And that was all over allegations of sort of racial bias in the screenings, even though they looked at the data. The data didn't really show that there was bias then. They did an independent review of this other provider, Campion Barrow and Associates, which is who St. Paul still uses. And they found no bias, but they fired them anyway, sort of under political pressure.
And just to note this here for people to differentiate it in their minds here, we're actually talking about a couple things. What we just talked about is this rigor of the psych testing. That's the one facet we just talked about. But what you're also talking about is the people in these departments or who are contracted by these departments to actually certify. They look at these test results to say, yep, this person's good, this person's not. I mean, it sounds like these evaluators actually do have veto power over whether someone can become a police officer. Is that right?
I mean, legally, yes, they do, because the Minnesota state law says that a licensed psychologist needs to interview you. And they need to determine that you're free from any mental or emotional condition that would prevent you from carrying out your duties as a peace officer. So, yes, if the psychologist who interviews you says, I'm sorry, police department, you can't hire this person. Well, you'd need to find a psychologist who said you could.
Ah.
And Minneapolis has in the past, when they didn't like the answer, they got sought second opinions. That hasn't – I didn't find that happening in recent years. But if you go back over the history, they have some history of that as well.
And just one line that stood out from your report reads, as a result of the dysfunction, Minneapolis puts itself at risk of bestowing badges and guns on officers who are psychologically ill-suited to their jobs at a time when trust in police is already at historic lows. Can we draw that line with the thick Sharpie, in other words? Can we say that Minneapolis has, in fact, hired someone and put on the force someone who is psychologically ill-suited based on the reporting you did?
We can't actually see those evaluations, and we can't give these people tests that they didn't take before they were hired. So that's, I think what we said is they ran the risk of that. They weren't doing those tests, and so we can't know. We can't know whether any officer would have been hired anyway. They did do some testing. They excluded people based on that testing, but they didn't do as much testing as they used to. And that does run the risk of missing something.
So is this a big deal? Does this matter?
I mean, I think it matters a lot given the moment that we're in, given the amount of scrutiny that policing is under and how important it is to get it right. And in fact, the new police chief in Minneapolis, I interviewed him and he said, this is very important for us to get right. I mean, hiring people with the right character is critical. Now, of course, psychological screening is not the only way you could assess someone's character.
Sure.
But it is interesting that in this day and age, they were doing a scaled back testing protocol. It just really struck us as ironic.
And there were moments in your reporting that we read in your story where what you found was news to the people who make these decisions. You were telling them things they didn't realize.
Yes, yes, that is true. And that, of course, happens a lot when you're doing investigative reporting.
Sure.
You're doing oversight that maybe you would think that the government is doing itself, but oftentimes no one's ever asked these questions or asked them in this way or taken as deep a look at this as the reporter who just won't leave them alone and keeps demanding answers is asking. It is though interesting that Minneapolis was already taking steps to replace the psychological screening firm it had been using even before we started our reporting. Because again, activists, actually some of the same activists that had done it back in the mid-2000s, had started raising questions about racial disparities or racial bias. Now, what they found, they actually re-interviewed some officers who were excluded. They found the Minneapolis police officials agreed that those people were correctly excluded.
Mm-hmm.
However, they started to look at Dr. Graetzer's numbers, and there was a higher percentage of minority applicants screened out, about 21% of minority applicants compared to only 13% of white applicants. And, you know, Janae Harto, who was police chief at the time they started looking at this, was very concerned when she saw those numbers.
Because there's a deep desire to increase racial diversity among police ranks, especially in city, urban, and urban police departments. I mean, that's a
all
huge topic of its own.
Absolutely. And I think most people would agree that's like a really worthy goal. But yes, I mean, Minneapolis is Minneapolis Police Department is whiter than the population it polices. And that's almost universally true in larger cities around the country. And that's something almost every city is trying to change.
And does this then circle back to Officer Noor, who was the officer who shot Christine Ruzczak?
Well, you know, we'll never know. We might know, I suppose, at some point whether what kind of psychological screening the Minneapolis Police Department, what that looked like, what it said in his actual report. Because, you know, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, which is doing the investigation of this, actually got a search warrant to examine his records. And so once they either make a decision on charges or if there were to be some sort of trial, at some point it's potential that would be made public, and certainly be interesting to take a look at that.
What reaction have you gotten to this story from people in policing, outside of policing? I'm just curious. What have you heard?
I got a number of emails yesterday. I think some of the psychologists who'd done this work for the city before and had been sort of unceremoniously removed over the years really felt it was a story that had never been told before and were glad that it was told. I even heard from a Minneapolis police recruit who had failed the psychological screening a couple years ago and said, you know, it really struck a chord with me. And I was, you know, who knows what the details of his story were. But anyway, it's been an interesting process. And when I started out, I had literally no idea what, if any, psychological screening cops got. So I feel like I've learned a lot.
You started with a blank piece of paper. For sure.
Usually do.
Curtis Gilbert, reporter for APM Reports. I just tweeted out a link to his story. You can find it on the APM Reports page as well. Curtis, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.